الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله، ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. وقال تعالى: رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: يأتي على الناس زمان يكون هلاك الرجل على يد زوجته وأبويه وولده، يعيرونه بالفقر ويكلفونه ما لا يطيق، فيدخل مداخل التي يذهب فيها دينه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, the topic we have is very vast. Inshallah, make dua that Allah Ta'ala gives us the ability that we take maximum benefit from this get together. The first thing that we should understand as Muslim businessmen, as Muslims, that sustenance comes from Allah. لا نسألك رزقا نحن نرزقك والعاقبة للتقوى. Allah says we do not ask sustenance from you, rather we provide it for you. Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahumullah, commentating on this ayat, gives a beautiful explanation. Generally a master will put his slave to go and earn and work. This is not the case that Allah says go and earn and work and provide for me. Rather I have taken the responsibility. In Mustadraf fi kulli fannin mustadraf, there is one riwayat where Allah Ta'ala tells insan, يَبْنَ آدَمْ لَمْ أُطَالِبْكَ بِعَمَلِ غَدْ فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ رِزْقِ غَدْ فَإِنِّي لَمْ أَنْسَ مَنْ عَصَانِي فَكَيْفَ بِمَنْ أَطَاعَنِي. O my servant, I haven't made you responsible of the salat of tomorrow, yet you ask me the sustenance of tomorrow. فَإِنِّي لَمْ أَنْسَ مَنْ عَصَانِي فَكَيْفَ بِمَنْ أَطَاعَنِي. I haven't forgotten those that deny my existence, how will I forget those that bow to me 5 times a day? So the first thing is that we understand that Allah alone is the provider. لا تجزع إذا أعسرت يوما فقد أيسرت في الزمن الطويل ولا تظنن بربك ظن سوء فإن ربك أولى بالجميل والعسر يتبعه يسار وقول الله أصدق كل قيل فلو أن العقول تسوق رزقا لكان المال عند ذوي العقول. The poet says, لا تجزع إذا أعسرت يوما. Do not complain if one day business is not good. Allah speaks about this in the Quran, that when Allah tests insan, وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقًا, and Allah brings some difficulty, some financial burden on him, فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا, he says, Allah, but why have you disgraced me? Under the commentary of this ayat, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ, the Mufassirin have written, some people came to Medina, they accepted Islam, and they said, after accepting Islam, if I see financial progress, then Islam is the true religion. And if I do not see financial prosperity, then I will abandon this deen. So Allah says, he doesn't come inside, he doesn't stand outside, he stands on the edge. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ. Perhaps some of us are those that verbally don't say this, but definitely we are guilty of this mindset and this frame of mind. فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٍ, if prosperity comes, اِطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ, he is pleased with deen. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ, but if difficulty comes, in قَلَبَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِ, he turns on his face, he turns his back towards deen. Allah says he was going through financial difficulty. When he abandoned deen, خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, he became the loser of both the worlds. لَا تَجْزَعْ إِذَا أَعْسَرْتَ يَوْمًا, when financial problems come to you, do not start moaning and groaning. فَقَدْ أَيْسَرْتَ فِي الزَّمَنِ الطَّوِيلِ, you were enjoying prosperity for many years. When Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam became sick and then his wife persisted that he make dua to Allah in the Hashia of Jalalain that she's written, then he told his wife, "Oh my wife, I enjoyed prosperity for 80 years. It is only but correct that my Allah tests me for 80 years. If after 80 years of difficulty elapses, then perhaps I have the courage to ask Allah to cure me." لا تجزق إذا أعسرت يوما فقد أيسرت في الزمن الطويل ولا تظنن بربك ظن سوء فإن ربك أولى بالجميل. And don't harbor ill feelings with your Allah is one regarding whom you should have the best of thoughts. والعسر يتبعه يسار. And after difficulty comes ease. وقول الله أصدق كل قيل. And Allah's word is the most truthful. فلو أن العقول تسوق رزقا لكان المال عند ذوي العقول. If it was only sheer intelligence that brought wealth, then the intellectual would have been wealthy. Wallah, we have seen people. I was once sitting in Canada at one brother's house. He owns a plant which is valued at 25 million Canadian dollars. He says, "Maulana, when I came from India, I started picking up litter for $2 a day." فَلَوْ أَنَّ الْعُقُولَ تَسُوقُ رِزْقًا لَكَانَ الْمَالُ عِنْدَ ذَوِي الْعُقُولِ. If it was intelligence, we've seen people that can't sign properly are owning empires. So yes, wealth is the decree of Allah. يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. In one riwayat of Tibrani on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, which is the hadith al-Qudsi فيما يرويه عن ربه تعالى, Allah himself says, إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي مَنْ لَا يُصْلِحُ إِيمَانَهُ إِلَّا الْفَقْرُ وَلَوْ أَغْنَيْتُهُ لَأَفْسَدَهُ ذَلِكَ. There are some servants of mine, only perpetual poverty will keep them obligated to me. If I open the doors of sustenance as they implore me, they will abandon me. إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي مَنْ لَا يُصْلِحُ إِيمَانَهُ إِلَّا الْغِنَى وَلَوْ أَفْقَرْتُهُ لَأَفْسَدَهُ ذَلِكَ. And then there are some of my servants, if only perpetual wealth and prosperity and affluence will keep them obligated to me, if I make them taste the difficulty and the hardships of poverty and penury, they will abandon me. So yes, brothers, the first vital thing that we have to understand that sustenance comes from Allah. The second thing that we have to understand is that this is the kindness of Allah Ta'ala upon us, that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has made it such that every man, regardless of his occupation, his engagement, provided of course it is halal. One person came to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Safwan bin Umayyah radiallahu anhu, is the narrator of the hadith. He comes and says, "Ya Rasulallah, kutibat alayya shakwa, fala urzaq illa min duffin, fa'adhan li fil ghina." O Nabi of Allah, I have been born wretched. So the only way I can earn my sustenance is by playing the guitar and by singing. I have a voice and I will not even sing immoral songs. But give me ijazat, I want to use this as a form of trade and occupation. Nabi alayhi salam said, "Kadabta ya adu Allah, laqad razaqaka Allah halalan tayyiba, wa akhtarta ma harrama Allah alayk." O enemy of Allah, you are speaking a lie. Allah has made it halal and Allah has made a lot of avenues available for you. You have opted for that which is haram and forbidden and unlawful over that which Allah has made lawful and permissible. Allah has not only made it permissible to engage in business, commerce and trade, but as Maulana rightfully pointed out, that if we engage in the correct manner and it conforms with the teachings of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then wallah, the hadith of Nabi Alayhi Salam says, a businessman returning from the marketplace, which the hadith says, "Sharrul biqai aswaquha," the most evil piece of land on the earth is a bazaar. The other day I was making mutala of this hadith and I came across something very beautiful. Allah give jazai khair to the muhaddithin, whom wallahi have conveyed everything. Something that comes to mind, the Nabi of Allah in the riwayat of Mishkat Sharif, first volume, the riwayat appears, where the Yahudi, anna hibram min al-Yahud, sa'alan Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one Yahudi scholar came and asked Nabi alayhi salam, which is the worst piece of land? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, "I will ask Jibreel, and then I will give you the answer." And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam asked Allah, and then he returned and conveyed the message to Nabi alayhi salam. But the point that I want to deduce here is, that there are many places on this earth that are much worse than the marketplace. There are casinos around us. There are places where zina is taking place. Yet we find the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam says the marketplace, the bazaar is the most evil place. Why? The muhaddithin write so beautifully, amongst those places, the existence of which is approved by Allah, the bazaar is the worst place. As far as casinos and places of zina, they were supposed to be non-existent. There's no gunjayish for its wujud. Yes, the bazaar in the marketplace, it has to take place. Under the commentary of this ayat, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِي مفتی شفیع صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ حضرت نے روایت دے that شیطان leaves his egg, the hatch in the bazaar. So the Nabi of Allah says, a person returning, some are those that will return from the path of Allah, some are those that will return from a madrasa, some will be returning from an Islamic organization. We will accept that when they return, Allah will forgive them, Allah will pardon them, Allah will be pleased. But the Nabi of Allah says, a man returning from the marketplace, but when they to make halal earnings, amsa maghfooran lahu. Before he puts his foot in his house, the angel announces, all your sins have been pardoned. Ka'b ibn Ujra radiallahu anhu says, we were sitting with Nabi alayhi salam, one young talented, you know, person passed by, fara'a ashabun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min jaladihi wa nashatihi, faqalu, law kana hadha fi sabilillah. Sahaba looked at this man, what a talented person. How nice it would have been if this youth could channel his talent in the obedience of Allah and in the path of Allah. The Nabi of Allah said, إِن كَانَ خَرَجَ يَسْعَى عَلَىٰ أَوْلَادِهِ الصِّغَارِ فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَإِن كَانَ خَرَجَ يَسْعَى عَلَىٰ أَبَوَيْنِ شَيْخَيْنِ كَبِيرَيْنِ فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَإِن كَانَ خَرَجَ يَسْعَى عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ يُعِفُّهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَإِن كَانَ خَرَجَ يَسْعَى رِيَاءً وَمُفَاخَرَةً فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Oh my Sahaba, if this young man is going to earn to provide for his aged parents, I swear by Allah, he is also in the path of Allah. Oh my Sahaba, if this young man is going to earn to put a platter of food before his young children, I swear by Allah, he is in the path of Allah. And believe me, even if he's not going to provide for his parents or his children, if he's only going to earn so that he doesn't stretch a hand before anyone else, he is also in the path of Allah. However, this comes the contentious issue, the sensitive aspect. If he comes to earn halal, not haram, halal, but this contamination and pollution in his intention. This contamination in his intention, and his intention of earning and accumulating and amassing is that I can maintain an affluent position in society. Society looks to me as an honorable person because of the car I drive. Then, oh my Sahaba, he is not in the path of Allah, he is in the path of Shaitan. When he returns home, his sins are not forgiven. Man talaba ad-dunya halalan استعفافا عن المسألة سعيا على أهله تعطفا على جاره بعثه الله يوم القيامة ووجهه كالقمر ليلة البدر. The one whose earnings are halal, من طلب الدنيا حلالا استعفافا عن المسألة. What is the definition of halal? The ulama say, if a man wants his earnings to be totally halal, he must be conscious of five things. ألا يؤخر شيء من فرائض الله لأجل الكسب. He should not neglect nor delay any commandment of Allah for the sake of earning. That means if you're making salat qaza or you are depriving yourself of jamaat, perhaps the item itself is not unlawful and forbidden, but that income is not totally pure. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ فَقَالَ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Allah commands the believers with the same injunction that Allah sent to the Anbiya. The injunction of Allah to the Anbiya is, eat from the pure things and do good. The Mufassirin write, the rabt between these two ayat is, in proportion to how pure your intake is, according to that Allah will favor you with the tawfiq to obey Allah. And in relation to how contaminated and polluted your income is, according to that you will be deprived divinely of tawfiq. إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ, the riwayat of Abu Dawud, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ وَرَضِيْتُمْ بِالْزَّرَى وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ سَلَّتَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلَّا لَا يَنْزِعُهُ حَتَّى تَرْجِعُوا إِلَى دِينِكُمْ أي إِلَى جُهْدِ دِينِكُمْ. When you will get involved in a transaction of qina, which is a haram form of transaction, and you will be obsessed with your world, and you will leave the command of striving in the path of Allah, Allah will divinely put disgrace on you. This will not come from the superpowers of that time. This will not come from the Yahud and the Nasara. But this disgrace will come divinely from Allah. And Allah will not remove this disgrace until you don't return to the deen of Allah. So number one, not to delay any commandment of Allah because of earning. Brothers, let us ask ourselves a question. There's so much to be said. While we are standing in the shop, how many of us are misusing our eyes? How much haram is taking place? Under the commentary of this ayat, وَأَقْمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ. In the riwayat of Bukhari, it is written, one person in a shop, the riwayat is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. In fact, in Jalalain also it's mentioned, he was in a shop, a woman came, and he got emotionally overpowered, he was affected, and somehow he could not contain himself. أَصَابَتْ مِنْهَا قُبْلَةً. and he kissed this woman. But now look at the betrayal and the restlessness of this man. He comes to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, I was involved in business. A woman came to me, lot of times one youngster came to me and says, Mawlana, I'm involved in fitting out carpets. At times I have to go there, the husband is out, it's an awkward situation. What should I do? I'm really confronted with this situation. I'm tempted, you know, after all shaitan is there. Wherever there's fire, there's heat. So he came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, make tawbah and repent to Allah, Allah will pardon you. But the inner restlessness of this man did not allow him. He came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, oh Nabi of Allah, this is what has happened. Nabi alayhi salam said, make tawbah, Allah will forgive you. Immediately the verses were revealed. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَى لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. Establish salah on the two ends of the day and perform a righteous deed after a wrong deed. Verily the perpetual performance of righteous deeds will erase the ill effect of wrong. That is why the Mufassireen and the Muhaddithin have written, when a man returns from the bazaar, look at the du'as of Nabi alayhi salam. When exiting from your house, just not when you open your shop. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an adilla aw udalla, aw adlima aw udlama, aw ajhala aw yujhala alayya. Oh Allah, I am stepping outside my house. I will be vulnerable to a lot of wrongs that are taking place. Allah, before I step outside, let me ask you and take your security. I ask you your divine protection from oppressing or being oppressed, from misleading or being misled, from expressing ignorance or bearing the result of someone else's ignorance. Then before opening your shop, Bismillah, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra hadhihi as-suq wa khayra ma fiha wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma fiha. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an usiba fiha yaminan fajira aw saqatan khasira. Oh Allah, I ask you the good of this bazaar and I ask you the protection from the evil of this bazaar. Allah, I ask you protection in this day. Ibn Abbas says, kasbul halal ashaddu min naqlil jabal. Allah, it's easier to move a mountain from point A to point B. It is more difficult to maintain strict haram. Ask that lawyer in his profession how difficult it is to avoid lying. At times his speech will be, there'll be ambiguity in his speech. But at times there will be demand that he has to emphatically lie. This is the time the clash will come between iman and his profession. So number one, not to delay any command of Allah. وَأَلَّا يُؤْذِي أَحَدًا مِّنَ الْخَلْقِ لِأَجْلِ الْكَسْبِ. Not to inconvenience any of Allah's makhluk for the sake of earning. Number three, not to consider that your income is a result of your efforts, but rather to understand my effort is a means and the provider is Allah. مَنْ طَلَبَ الدُّنْيَا حَلَالًا. We were making mention of that hadith. The one who's earning the halal, what's the object then of a believer? Isti'tafan 'anil mas'ala, so that I do not ask anyone. Sa'yan 'ala ahlihi, I can provide for my family. The riwayat of Abu Dawud, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, is the narrator of the hadith. Nabi alayhi salam says, kafa bil mar'i ithman an yudayya man yaqut. It is sufficient to render a man a liar. It is sufficient to render a man a transgressor in the eyes of Allah if it deprives his dependents of their needs. Brothers, one thing we must remember, Allah has taken the responsibility of sustaining the needs of man and not the greeds of man. Allah has taken the responsibility. We have to draw a difference between the two. Allah has, what is the bare necessity? That Sahabi asked, Alasna min fuqala'il muhajirin, Muslim Sharif second volume. Are we not amongst the poor muhajirin? He said, Alaka baytun, do you have a house? He says, yes. Imam Qurtubi writes the definition of a house. كل ما علاك فأضلك فهو سقف وكل ما أقلك فهو أرض وكل ما سترك من جهاتك الأربع فهو جدار فإذا اتصلت وانتظمت فهو بيت. If it covers you from a top, you call it a roof, whatever it is. If it bears you, then it is an earth. If it covers you all round, it's a wall. These three things is a house. ألسنا من فقراء المهاجرين. Are we not the poor muhajirin? Do you have a house? Yes. Are you married? Yes. فَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ. Then you're a wealthy man. إِنَّ لِي خَادِمْ. I have a servant. فَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْمُلُوكِ. Then you're a king. Tirmidhi Sharif, the riwayat is there. Nabi alayhi salam says, مَنْ أَصْبَحَ مِنْكُمْ مُعَافًا فِي جَسَدِهِ آمِنًا فِي سِرْبِهِ عِنْدَهُ قُوتُ يَوْمِهِ فكأنما حيدت له الدنيا بحذافيرها أي جمعت له بتمامها.
If you get up with shelter above you, with a platter of food in front of you, and you are safe in your condition, then you get up as though Allah has exclusively given you all the good of this world.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَأْمُرْنِي بِكَنْزِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا بِإِتِّبَاعِ الشَّهَوَاتِ.
Khair, this is a different topic, we will run out of time.
مَنْ طَلَبَ الدُّنْيَا حَلَالًا إِسْتِعْفَافًا عَنِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ.
إِسْتِعْفَاف, so that I do not stretch my hand before anyone else.
سَعْيًا عَلَى أَهْلِهِ, I can provide for my family.
تَعَطُّفًا عَلَى جَارِهِ,
I can take care of my neighbor.
How many of us are pursuing change in our furniture when our neighbor don't have sufficient food?
Brother, there is not the mansha of a businessman in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Wallah, study the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. What didn't he use and what didn't he earn because of that wealth? That very wealth of ours, which is taking us away from Allah.
The riwayat of Musnad Ahmad says, لَا بَأْسَ بِالْغِنَى لِمَنْ اتَّقَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ.
There's no harm in earning wealth for a person that fears Allah.
The Nabi of Allah even made dua for Anas, اللَّهُمَّ أَكْثِرْ مَالَهُ وَوَلَدَهُ وَبَارِكْ لَهُ فِيمَا أَعْطَيْتَهُ.
Allah give him abundance of wealth and give him ample of provisions and give him barakat in his children also, Allah.
And give him barakat in whatever you have given him, Allah.
So Nabi alayhi salam has made dua for barakat in wealth.
But what was the masraf of wealth? What was the object behind using that wealth?
Study the lives of Anbiya, study the lives of Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in.
Every Sahabi had jazba that I can earn to also spend in the path of Allah.
Those of us that don't have, the riwayat of Tirmidhi says that man who gets up without wealth, but he has the desire.
Nabi alayhi salam categorizes the entire world in this riwayat into four types.
One is that person who has wealth. رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا وَلَمْ يَرْزُقْهُ عِلْمًا.
Allah gave him wealth, but Allah didn't give him the understanding of deen.
So he feels, I can use my wealth as I want.
Mawlana Saad, Damat Barakatuhum, one day mentioned in the Mashwara in Nizamuddin,
he said, the greatest harm of this ummah is that the ummah has considered their leisure time and their extra wealth as their personal commodity.
He said, the greatest harm of the ummah today is that ummah considers its leisure time as my dhati time and my extra wealth as my personal wealth.
وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الدُّنْيَا,
and that person who earns the dunya halal, but مُكَاثِرًا مُفَاقِرًا مُرَائِيًا لَقِيَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ غَلْبَانِ.
His earnings are halal. He doesn't engage himself in anything haram. But contamination in his endeavor, in his object, in his goal, and that is so that I can accumulate and I can amass.
Nabi alayhi salam turns around and he finds the sahaba lying on the ground.
He looks at this. Who won't be hurt to see his companions in that condition? But then he takes out the inner pain of his heart. مَا الْفَقْرَ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ.
Oh my Sahaba, it's not a pleasant sight to see you like this, but this is not the fear with which I leave you.
It's not nice to see you.
Umar bin Abdul Aziz was at home, his daughter comes home.
He comes home, he finds his daughter on the floor with hunger.
He says, oh my daughter, your father had two options. Either he saturates your belly with haram and halal and puts you in Jahannam, or he makes sure that halal enters into your stomach.
Oh my daughters, it is easier for me to see you sleeping hungry.
Wallah, the naked eye of your father cannot see his daughters burn in Jahannam.
Brothers, the hadith I quoted in the beginning is in Bayhaqi, it's Marfu'an. Ibn Mas'ud is the narrator of the hadith. As the Tanwi has also made mention of it in Hayatul Muslimin.
The Nabi of Allah said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ.
A time is to come upon insan.
يَكُونُ هَلَاكُ الرَّجُلْ عَلَى يَدِ زَوْجَتِهِ وَأَبَوَيْهِ وَوَلَدِهِ.
A man will lose his iman primarily because of his wife, his children and his parents.
I took it to my ustad and I mentioned this hadith. He said, Sadaqallahu wa rasuluhu, Sadaqallahu wa rasuluhu. Allah and his Nabi has spoken the truth, the zamana has come.
Nabi alayhi salam says, his wife, his children and his parents, the combination of these three will be the result of him losing his deen.
How will this happen, O Nabi of Allah?
يعيرونه بالفقر ويكلفونه ما لا يطيق.
I wish you could understand this in Arabic, brothers.
يعيرونه بالفقر. His wife and children will taunt him because of his financial position. Daily the wife will condemn and criticize. You don't buy, you don't take us, you don't furnish. The children will complain. You don't do this for us, you don't buy this for me.
Nabi alayhi salam says, this man daily will become a victim
of the criticism of his wife and children, which one day will become unbearable. يُعَيِّرُونَهُ بِالْفَقْرِ وَيُكَلِّفُونَهُ مَا لَا يُطِيقُ. And they will put such demands on him which will be beyond his financial budget. Brother, this is not a tafsir, this is a translation of the hadith. There are ulama that are sitting here. I gave you the full reference of the hadith. مَا لَا يُطِيقُ, which is beyond his ability.
فَيَدْخُلُ مَدَاخِلَ الَّتِي يَذْهَبُ فِيهَا دِينُهُ.
In the profound love that he has for his wife and children, he will engage in such transactions to bring that additional money to satisfy the greed of his wife and children. In the process, deen will leave him totally. The Nabi of Allah is making dua. Abu Sa'id Khudri is the narrator of the hadith in Nasa'i Sharif. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الكفر والدين. Oh Allah, I ask your divine protection, save me against kufr, and oh Allah, save me against overwhelming debts. What does the Nabi of Allah ask protection against? Oh Allah, save me against kufr and save me against overwhelming debts. One person is sitting there, أَتَعْدِلُ الْكُفْرَ بِالدَّيْنِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Oh Nabi of Allah, do you equate kufr to debts? You are asking Allah protection against kufr, and maybe if you couple it with shirk, polytheism, disbelief, we understand. But what is the link between two? You're asking Allah, save me from kufr and save me from debts. أَتَعْدِلُ الْكُفْرَ بِالدَّيْنِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Nabi of Allah, is debts and kufr together? Nabi alayhi salam says, yes. The muhaddithin writes, subhanallah, Allah give jazai khair to the muhaddithin. Why does the Nabi of Allah equate debts to kufr? Allahu Akbar. The muhaddithin write, when a man has overwhelming debts, and that makes a portion of the focus of my topic. When a man has overwhelming debts and he doesn't have money to pay it, then he starts conducting himself like a kafir. So now lying is common, deceiving is common, fraudulent is common, forging is common, disguising, changing your identity, camouflaging. Now all the portraits and the attributes and the traits of a kafir will be manifest in him. The Nabi of Allah in Hajjatul Wada said, just as this day, ayyu, Nabi alayhi salam asked the Sahaba, what is this month? So we said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. فَظَنَنَّا أَنَّهُ سَيُسَمِّهِ سِوَسْمِهِ. We thought perhaps he will change the month. He will change it, give it another name. He said, is this not the month of Hajj? We said, yes. Is this not the Kaaba? We said, yes. Is this not the sacred land of Makkah? Yes. Then the Nabi of Allah said, just as this Kaaba is honorable, the honor of every believer is sacred. Yet in the riwayat it comes, Nabi alayhi salam says, لَيُّ الْوَاجِدْ يُحِلُّ عِرْضَهُ وَعُقُوبَتَهُ. That man who delays settling his debts, the Nabi of Allah says, now his honor is no longer sacred, expose him. How sad is it that you go to so many Muslim garages, don't give petrol to a man with this name, this identity, this registration. Brothers, at this time when the world has united to tarnish our reputation, to soil our name, to blacken and blemish our character, is it not all the more that we now revive the life of Nabi alayhi salam? If by virtue of our akhlaq, we cannot convince that employee that is under our employment, I think we are deceiving the world that we can impress them through media and paper and this and that. Wallah, on the grounds of akhlaq and akhlaq alone. إِنَّ أَطْيَبَ الْكَسْبِ كَسْبُ التُّجَّارِ. The Nabi of Allah says the best earning is the earning of the businessman. But then the Nabi of Allah defines a businessman. The other day I was giving the talk, Allah put this thought in my mind. Today we have created within our society many symbols by virtue of which we identify one another as a Muslim. Allah has not revealed those symbols as the identity of a Muslim, nor has Allah approved that form of identification. By way of example, to substantiate the theory, you meet a man, you say hello, he says, why, I'm a Muslim. So he says, sorry, I didn't know. He says, you can't see 786 on my number plate. إِنِّيَ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءٌ سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانِ. These are names you have given it. Allah hasn't approved it. So Nabi alayhi salam says the best income is the income of businessmen. One is on a legal term, you are being recognized as a businessman. That doesn't qualify you. I always say and I repeat it today. One is the duty of a mother and one is the duty of a Muslim mother. One is the duty of a businessman and one is the duty of a Muslim businessman. One is the duty of a physician and one is the duty of a Muslim physician. The duty of a mother is that my son must not go to school until he doesn't eat. And that duty follows with motherhood, and alhamdulillah, our mothers comply and they cherish their motherhood, and may Allah reward them for that. But the duty of a Muslim mother is, my son will not eat until he doesn't take Allah's name. The duty of a physician is, that when a patient walks into my surgery, in the obligation to the skill and the profession that I have, I must diagnose his illness correctly, and I must prescribe the best medication for him. But the duty of a Muslim physician will be, when my patient leaves the surgery, he must leave with more reliance on the shifa of Allah than on my prescription. One would be what that physician to say, take it after three meals. Like I told one doctor, I said, doctor sir, just change. You can see the man is a Muslim. Tell him, but you know what you do? You can take one tablet after Fajr when you come home and you have your tea. You take one tablet there. One lunch, I'm sure you must be having lunch before Zohar or after Zohar. So after Zohar you take one, and the other one, I don't know, whatever time you come back from Maghrib, then after that you can take it. The same thing. But if he gives dawat in that surgery, wallahi his dawat will become a means of hidayat. His sitting in his surgery will blow the winds of hidayat. إِنَّ أَتْيَبَ الْكَسْبِ كَسْبُ التُّجَّارِ الَّذِينَ إِذَا حَدَّثُوا لَمْ يَكْذِبُوا وَإِذَا وَعَدُوا لَمْ يُخْلِفُوا وَإِذَا أَتُمِنُوا لَمْ يَخُونُوا وَإِذَا اشْتَرَوُوا لَمْ يَذِمُوا وَإِذَا بَاعُوا لَمْ يَمْدَحُوا. Nabi alayhi salam says the best income is the income of a businessman. Now let's see if we fit the description of a businessman in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Brothers, that is the real thing that we have to qualify. Like one brother went to his house, I seen he had the Sawuk Hajj card. So I said, you keep in this still, what you're going to show it to the Malaika that I'm a Hajj? This is to show there may be, in the eyes of Allah, sifat will define if you're a Hajj. Nabi alayhi salam says, the best businessman is the one, number one, الَّذِينَ إِذَا حَدَّثُوا لَمْ يَكْذِبُوا. When they speak, they don't ever utter a lie. They don't ever utter a lie. Nabi alayhi salam comes to one sahabi, he's selling, hawking. So Nabi alayhi salam puts his hand inside, he finds that the item is moist. Picks it up, he says, what is this? He said, no, it rained, so the goods got a bit wet. So Nabi alayhi salam says, take it out and put it on top. Don't deceive us. مَنْ غَشَّنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. If you're deceiving us, you are not from among us. Expose it. Say why it is second hand, or someone else used it, or it's been tempered with, whatever the item, whatever the object is. مَنْ غَشَّنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. One jamaat went to one person's house, one shop, for gush, giving him dawat. The person bought something for 5 rand. The man returns it. The brother is waiting there. So the item was 4.95 and the man gave 5 rand. So he took the 5 rand, put it in the till, he said, right, you can take it and go. So the mutakallim told the brother, I think it was 4.95, 5 cents hisab, you got to give it back on the day of Qiyamah. He says, bye, where Allah will worry about my 5 cents? There are people pulling containers, Allah will be busy with them. There are people pulling containers, Allah will be busy with them. Where Allah will worry about my 5 cents? What about that riwayat where a person was fighting and then he was martyred? And then the Nabi of Allah said that he is in Jahannam fi burdatin ghallaha. He took one cloth, one sheet from the spoils of the war which was not allotted to him because of the Jahannam. Fi burdatin ghallaha. وَمَنْ يَغْلُلْ يَأْتِ بِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الَّذِينَ إِذَا حَدَّثُوا لَمْ يَكْذِبُوا. When they speak, they don't ever utter a lie. The riwayat is in Bukhari Sharif, first volume, Abu Sufyan. When Hiraqal summons him, and he asks about Nabi alayhi salam, he says, وَاللَّهِ لَوْلَا. I swear by Allah, if it wasn't for the embarrassment to be tarnished as a liar, I would have spoken such lies against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But I had one of two options. Either I speak the truth and this man gets impressed with Islam, or I speak a lie and this man does not accept Islam, but then I have to take the shame of being a liar. I prefer speaking the truth as much as I hate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did the Nabi of Allah deen say? Inna as-sidqa yahdi ila al-bir. Honesty will lead to piety. Was it not the honesty? Nabi alayhi salam told Hakim ibn Hizam, who was a very wealthy man and a very generous man. Nabi alayhi salam told him when he accepted Islam, aslamta ala ma aslafta min khair. The goodness and the generosity you did as a kafir, Allah favored you with iman. The honesty of Abu Sufyan in his kufr brought that day that on the conquest of Makkah, my Nabi said, man dakhala dara Abi Sufyan fahuwa amin. Man dakhala dara Abi Sufyan fahuwa amin. His honesty brought him to guidance. And the Nabi of Allah honored him. Sahabi came and said, oh Nabi of Allah, Abu Sufyan has an influential position, honoring his position. Nabi Sassan says, you have it and I have honored it. I have extended my security to him also. And I've equally extended my security to those who take security under his umbrella. Man dakhala dara Abi Sufyan fahuwa amin. So what did the Nabi of Allah say? Alladheena idha haddathu lam yakdhibu. Those when they speak truth, when they speak, my brothers, they don't ever speak a lie. There's so much that can be spoken about that. How much lies? The hadith of Bukhari, the Nabi of Allah says, man halafa ala yameenin wa huwa fiha fajir liyaqta'a biha ma lam ri'in muslimin laqiyallaha wa huwa alayhi ghadban wa fi riwayatin laqiyallaha wa huwa anhu mu'rid. He who speaks a lie, and in one riwayat Nabi alayhi salam says that a false oath will promote the item. You'll convince the customer. Mamhaqatun lil barka. But Allah steps out of that deal as soon as lies come in. So you convince the man, he bought the item. But Allah steps out of that business. That man who speaks a lie to deprive someone, he will come before Allah in such a way, Allah will turn his face. Allah doesn't want to look at him. Allah says the greatest terror for a kafir on the day of Qiyamah will be, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. He'll be deprived of the countenance of his Allah. Then the Nabi of Allah says, وَإِذَا وَعَدُوا. When they make a promise, then they do not go against their promise. Allah speaks about Ismail alayhi salam, وَكَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ. Allah Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullahi writes under the commentary of this ayat, he made an agreement with someone that he will meet that person at a place for one entire year daily he used to come, that man did not come. Allah Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullahi has written, Nabi alayhi salam's incident of 3 days is well known. Waiting for 3 days. Al-idatu daynun. The Nabi of Allah says, a verbal commitment is a debt on your shoulders. Someone told us 11 o'clock, we wait till 11:01, he's not here, we move it. In fact, sometimes we don't even come on time. وَإِذَا وَعَدُوا. When they promise, they do not go against their promise. وَإِذَا اشْتَرَوُوا لَمْ يَذِمُّوا. وَإِذَا بَاعُوا لَمْ يَمْدَحُوا. When they purchase an item, they don't criticize. And when they sell an item, they don't praise that item. Where is this akhlaq? Brother Sahaba also had wealth. Allah had given them a lot of wealth. One Sahabi, Urwa radiallahu anhu, in the riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sent him to go and buy one sheep. Nabi alayhi salam gave him one dinar. He took that dinar, fashtara shatain. He bought two sheep, faba'a. Then he sold one. So he came back with a dinar and a sheep. Nabi alayhi salam sent him with one dinar, go buy one sheep. He took the dinar, he bought two sheep. And then when he came back, he sold one sheep for one dinar, that gave him the profit of a dinar and a sheep. So he comes back to Nabi alayhi salam, he presents the sheep, and he presents the dinar. And he narrates the incident. The Nabi of Allah got so happy, he made so much dua, فَكَانَ لَوِشْتَرَ تُرَابًا لَرَبِحَ فِيهِ. Allah gave so much, the riwayat is in Bukhari, Allah gave so much barakat, if that sahabi had to pick up sand also, he would have made profit out of it. Barakat. There's so much to say, brothers. I'm already looking at my watch, the time is coming up. Allahu Akbar. Under the commentary of this ayat, وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ صَنْعَةَ لَبُوسٍ لَكُمْ لِتُحْسِنَكُمْ. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi writes in the 6th volume of Ma'riful Quran on page 212 under the commentary of this ayat, وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ صَنْعَةَ لَبُوسٍ لَكُمْ لِتُحْسِنَكُمْ مِنْ بَأْسِكُمْ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ شَاكِرُونَ. Where Allah says, we taught Dawud alayhi salam the method of making armor. Dawud alayhi salam and Sulaiman, both Allah blessed with kingdom and nabuwat. Allah had favored both father and son. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. While mentioning this nukta comes to mind, They both said, all praise belongs to Allah who gave us virtue over significant amount of His creation. Mullah Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullahi writes, there's only one person that can say all praise belongs to Allah who gave me virtue over His entire creation, and that's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Speaking about interest, what Mawlana said, Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullahi writes under the commentary of this ayat,
وَمَا أَتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُو عِندَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاةٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ.
He gives a unique parable and a unique example.
وَاللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ آبَائِي فَجِئْنِي بِمِثْلِهِمْ يَا جَرِيرُ إِذَا جَمَعَتْنَا الْمَجَامِعُ.
What these mufassirin and muhaddithin have conveyed to the ummah. He gives a practical parable. He says, the Quran says,
وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُو عِندَ اللَّهِ.
Whatever you give in interest to multiply your wealth, Allah says, in my eyes, it does not increase and it does not multiply. This is a common ayat, we've heard it. Nabi alayhi salam says in the riwayat of Bukhari,
يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يَبْقَى أَحَدٌ إِلَّا أَكَلَ الرِّبَا فَإِن لَّمْ يَأْكُلْهُ أَصَابَهُ مِن بُخَارِهِ.
A time will come, no human will be saved. Everybody will be involved in interest and usury. If he tries to save himself, the minimum this much he won't be able to avoid, which will be inevitable, and that is the smoke of interest he will have to inhale. He will have to inhale the smoke of interest. That is, if he tries. The Nabi of Allah has cursed, brothers. As the Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi has written something very ajeeb. That there are so many other sins the Nabi of Allah did not curse. Here the Nabi of Allah curses. The man writing, the man recording, the man witnessing. آكِلَ الرِّبَى مُوكِلَهُ شَاهِدَهُ. So what does the Quran say? That which you give in interest to multiplying your wealth, فَلَا يَرْبُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. It does not increase.
وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاةٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجَهَ اللَّهِ.
In the zakat you discharge, مُضْعِفُونَ, Allah will double it. Mawlana gives the example in the following way. Allahu Akbar. He says, one is that person who is eating unhealthy, fatty food, because of which he's bloating, he's expanding. He's not becoming strong and healthy and vigilant and vibrant, but rather he's becoming fat, hefty and unhealthy. The wealth that is being increased and multiplied through interest and usury is not healthy wealth, it is unhealthy wealth. It would be foolish to say this is a healthy man, look at how big he is. That fat is a liability, not an asset. That will harm him more than help him. That will hurt him more than benefit him. Wallah, that wealth that comes through haram sources is like that man that is picking up weight, which is not developing strength and energy in his body, but rather is going to lead to blood pressure, this pressure, that pressure, and gradually to his stomach. In the same way, just as someone might foolishly say, look at how healthy this man is, whereas it's not health, but rather it's a liability, that wealth which is being multiplied through interest. I was in America now in Ramadan. Al-iyadu billah, al-iyadu billah. Every day I spoke about this hadith, brothers. It has become so common interest. Wallah, you will barely find one musalli in the masjid that's not involved in interest. When I came back, I spoke at many venues and one brother said, Mawlana, we are not far from that. Make dua, Allah saves us. It's happening here as well. One brother who lost a lot of money through interest, with tears in his eyes, he one day embraced me and he said, Mawlana, convey this to the ummah. Tell them the bank and the bank manager, like a stock switch. This was his own tashbih. They will let you suck on that sweet as long as the sweet is there. When the sweet is finished, they hit you with that same stick. The Nabi of Allah said, and this man is the victim of this year, إِنَّ الرِّبَا وَإِن كَثُرَ فَإِنَّ عَاقِبَتَهُ تَصِيرُ إِلَىٰ قَلِّ. Nabi alayhi salam says, interest, even if it apparently multiplies your wealth, it will make you inevitably taste poverty before you die. The words of Nabi alayhi salam, even if it apparently multiplies your wealth, Allah will make you taste faqr before you die. What will be the condition of that young boy who grew up in such affluence, who never was told no before he desired it was before him? When this boy will find himself in poverty, what option will he have other than suicides? Then he explains the latter part. وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاةٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. That when you discharge in zakat, the Quran says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ تُطَهِّرُهُمْ. Take their zakat to purify them, to cleanse them. Maulana gives the example to this, that when you are given zakat, it will multiply your wealth. He says it's like a person that has a bug in his system, and he's been treated by some medical practitioner, which has put him on some form of laxative. He's running to the toilet, he's getting thin, but his system has been cleaned out. So apparently he is losing, he's becoming thin and weak. But wallah, that thin, lean, weak, healthy man is better than that fat, hefty, unhealthy man. Under the commentary of this ayat, as I was mentioning, وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ صُنْعَةَ لَبُوسٍ لَكُمْ, about Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam. Dawood alayhi salam one day disguised himself and he went into the bazaar. Once upon a time, brothers, study what a great businessman Imam Abu Hanifa was. Sayyidul Fuqara, Fuqaha, Ra'isul Mujtahideen. Nu'man ibn Thabit, what a great businessman he had. It's unfortunate that today we have separated business from deen. Quduri sahib, a Quduri man selling pots compiled fiqh and went away. Today a man selling pots can't understand fiqh. In that zamana, a man selling pots wrote Quduri and went away. What understanding the businessman had. وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ صَنْعَةَ لَبُوسٍ لَكُمْ. Dawood alayhi salam disguised himself and he went to the people and then he used to ask them, what's your opinion about Dawood? He's the Amir, he's the Khalifa, and he wants to know, he wants to reform himself. What's your opinion of Dawood? So Allah Ta'ala also sent a malaika, an angel in a disguised form, and said, Dawood is a wonderful man, just one shortfall. He eats from the Baytul Maal, from the national treasury. If he had some independent income and he didn't take money from the national treasury, it would have been wonderful. So it hit his heart, he made dua to Allah. Allah inspire me with some. Idris alayhi salam, Allah inspired him with many professions. The Mufassirin have written, match started from Idris alayhi salam. Mufti Shafiz Sahib rahmatullah has made tafsir of this. Allah inspire me with some art, some profession, through which I can earn. So Allah then divinely taught him how to make armor, وَأَلَنَّا لَهُ الْحَدِيدِ, and Allah made the steel so soft for him that he could melt it as he wanted. It was like wax for him. Under the commentary of this ayat with reference to Ibn Kathir in Ma'riful Quran 6 volume, the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam is made mention of, which is a very unique example, Allahu Akbar, where the Nabi of Allah likens a businessman who fears Allah, the businessman who fears Allah and obeys Allah and conducts his business in accordance to the dictates of Sharia, primarily to obey Allah and couple with that so that he can have some income. The Nabi of Allah likens this businessman to the mother of Musa alayhi salam. Now let's understand the tashbih. What is the common factor between the two? What is the element of comparison? Cutting a long story short, when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in other words, while you'll be going to your shop, your marketplace, you will be earning, you will be seeing profit, yet the Nabi of Allah says you will be rewarded. Apart from all the virtue of halal earnings and providing your wife and giving to charitable organizations, your very presence there will be reward if your intention is correct. Look at the tashbih now. The tashbih is, Ibn Kathir, the riwayat is that, that when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's mother was inspired, وَأُحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِهِ فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. That keep on suckling your child, and when you fear that the intelligence of Pharaoh will locate your child, فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي غَرْقَهُ وَلَا تَحْزَنِي فِرَاقَهُ. Then drop him in the river Nile. وَلَا تَخَافِي غَرْقَهُ. Don't fear him drowning. وَلَا تَحْزَنِي فِرَاقَهُ. And don't lament his separation. إِنَّا رَدُّهُ إِلَيْكَ. We will return him to you. وَجَعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And it is our pledge he will be amongst the Ulul Azm Anbiya. We will make him a great Nabi. So anyway, just recently I spoke about the kindness of a mother. This is not the time to digress. Let's just keep on focus. She puts the child in the River Nile to sail. The basket is floating and sailing. Mawlana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahumullah, the manzar that he paints, subhanallah. وَكَانَ فِرْعَوْنِ يَتَنَزَّهُ عَلَى شَاطِئِ النِّيلِ. Fir'aun was sitting, reclining at the side, at the banks of the River Nile. And he looks at this sunduq. تَلْعَبُ بِهِ أَمْوَاجُ النِّيلِ. How the waves are floating this amanat of Allah. And then he tells his wife, أَلَا تَرَى يَا سَيِّدَتِي. Oh my beloved, don't you see that? So he commands, إِلَيْكَ هَذَا السُنْدُوق. إِلَيْكَ هَذَا السُنْدُوق. Bring it here. It's opened up. The riwayat suggests at that very time, what the Quran said?
فَالْتَقَتَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. فَالْتَقَتَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. إن فرعون وهامان وجنودهما كانوا خاطئين.
Fir'aun and Haman picked up their enemy. They picked him up. إن فرعون وهامان. Fir'aun and Haman made a very big mistake. Mullah Shabir Ahmad Uthmani writes in his brother's tafsir, Uthmani is an ajeeb tafsir. He's written about Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullah in the latter part of his life. He left all his kitabs is to make mutala of tafsir Uthmani. In the Fir'aun, he writes, what was the mistake of Fir'aun? The mistake of Fir'aun was not picking up Musa. The mistake of Fir'aun was he thought he could alter Allah's plan by killing that child. I can change the plan of Allah. Khair, anyway, the child is brought. Look at the tartib of hifazat. وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِّنِّي. When he's put in the River Nile, one command of Allah was to the mother. And one command of Allah was to the river. The command, Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ اِقْذِ فِيهِ فِي التَّابُوتِ فَاقْذِ فِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ فَلْيُلْقِهِ الْيَمُّ بِالسَّاحِلِ. Some Mufassirin say Amr is Bamana Khabar, yeah? But Jumur Mufassirin say Amr is in the meaning of Amr. You put the basket in the River Nile, فَلْيُلْقِهِ الْيَمُّ بِالسَّاحِلِ. And the command to the River Nile is, it must take it to the shore. So it's not the إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الصُّنْدُوقُ of Fir'aun. The takwini tartib of Allah. وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِّنِّي. Allah says, I focus my countenance on you and I put beauty on your face. So when, as soon as they looked at Musa, they melted at his beauty. And then he comes into the palace. Mawlana, my Ustad Mawlana Sulaiman Choksi Damat Barakatuhum says, under the commentary of the Sayyid in Jalalain, he mentions that Fir'aun said, I'm going to kill this child. But the Minister of Home Affairs said, لا تقتلوه. Mawlana said, jisne khuda hone ka bhi dawa kiya, biwi ke samne sar jhukaya. That were his words. Mawlana's words. The man who claimed to say, I'm Allah. But even there he had to comply. Like they say, marriage is not a word, it's a sentence, a life sentence. Marriage is an institution where a man loses his bachelor's degree and a woman gets her master's. The child asks his father, oh my father, how much does it cost to get married? He said, my boy, I don't know, I'm still paying. Time is up. Anyway, Musa alayhi salam comes into the palace of Fir'aun. And Allah, Musa alayhi salam's mother sends Musa alayhi salam's sister. And she comes there. But Musa alayhi salam doesn't want to suckle and drink the milk, be nursed by any woman. And how can he, when the Quran said, وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِعِ. How can he drink when my Allah said, وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِعَ مِنْ قَبْلُ. فَقَالَتْ هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي يَكْفُلُونَهُ لَكُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ نَاسِحُونَ. We had divinely made the chest of every woman forbidden for Musa. He who is to become Kalimullah to drink the milk of a napak woman, never. Finally, the sister of Musa disguises herself and she says, I know of a woman. طَيِّبَةُ الْلَبَنْ طَيِّبَةُ الْرِيْحِ. Every child will drink her milk. So Fir'aun says, okay, bring this woman. The mother of Musa alayhi salam comes, disguising that she is the biological mother of Musa alayhi salam. She then picks up this child.
وأدرت لك عرقين رقيقين ينبعان لك لبنا خالصا دافعا في الشتاء وباردا في الصيف. Allah says, on the chest of your mother, two springs of milk, which doesn't change with season, that is just soothing for you, O my child.
وعلى الوالدات يرضعن أولادهن حولين كاملين لمن أراد أن يتم الرضاعة.
Well, our brothers, we call upon the women of today to cherish their motherhoods. What a bond between mother and child. Today the West are teaching us also to substitute this. The strongest bond perhaps between any two humans is between a nursing mother and her nursing child, between a suckling mother and a suckling child. That is why in the opening verses of Surah Hajj, where Allah describes the severity of the day of Qiyamah, Allah says, يَوْمَ تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. When a nursing mother will become oblivious and negligent even of her nursing child. When she embraces that child, that also reflects and manifests the qudrat of Allah. Immediately he starts drinking, Fir'aun becomes, he senses there's something strange here. So the mother of Musa alayhi salam, after all we see when a child didn't have his feet for 1-2 hours, some riwayat suggest 3 days the child did not have anything. Can we imagine? A Nabi is on Qurbani from his infancy. Finally she suckles the child, and this is the tashbih, my time is up. The tashbih is then the mother of Musa alayhi salam, and according to Fir'aun, a nursing woman. She says, okay, this child we have adopted. This is the words of Fir'aun. You take our child to your house, and you suckle our child in your comfort, and we will give you salary. This is now the tashbih. Now Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi, writing this hadith, a mother in the comfort of her own home, when thousands of children were being cold-bloodedly slaughtered in the laps of their mothers, this mother suckles her child, which is her duty. Duty, qada'a, diyanatan. Diyanatan is a duty. Either she suckles or to give to someone else. It is her duty. She suckles her child, which is the duty that follows with motherhood, yet she's taking a salary for suckling her child. And the Nabi of Allah approves it. Nabi alayhi salam says that businessman who is earning, he's making money, but his object is to fear Allah. And his object is to conform with the dictates of Shariat and to benefit the makhluk of Allah. Brothers, what will define that is also your object, that is to help the makhluk of Allah? As a businessman or as a professional person in your surgery, a poor patient presents in your surgery. If your object, undoubtedly you have to make money as well, but you don't have to exploit. You can see the man is desperately sick. There's not the time to make money. You are selling blankets, it's winter. There should be some contribution to you, to the poor. That will define if your object is not only money. The Nabi of Allah says she comes home, she suckles her child in the comfort of her own home, and she receives the salary for it. The same thing the Nabi of Allah says. You will be earning your salary and you will be providing. Allah will be pleased with you also. The great reward for you also. And at the same time, your income and your business and whatever else you have will also be catered for. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. As I mentioned, there were many other things I wanted to cover. Inshallah, some other time, wherever. But as whatever else was mentioned, whatever Mufti Sahib will be now bringing forward to us, let us take it to heart. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله. تحدث آية كريمة with which I commence my talk. Oh, you who believe, let not your children, your wealth, your merchandise, your trade beguile you from Allah, mislead you from Allah, but rather let it bring you closer to Allah. Earn that wealth and spend it in the place that Allah Ta'ala wants it. We have the likes of Uthman radiallahu anhu, that the Nabi of Allah made such a dua for his contribution. Perhaps you will not come across a dua like this for anyone else. غفر الله in Kanzul Umal, the 11th volume. غفر الله لك يا عثمان ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أصررت وما أعلنت وما أخطيت وما أبديت وما كان منك وما هو كائن إلى يوم القيامة. Uthman, may Allah forgive your minor, your major, your collective, your individual, all your sins, you, your family, till the day of Qiyamah. What did the Nabi of Allah say? ما نفعني مال أحد ما نفعني مال أبي بكر. No man's wealth benefited me as much as the wealth of Abu Bakr. Brothers, I always mention, it would be wrong to say that there were not other wealthy Sahaba. There were many other wealthy Sahaba and many contributed. But it was the wealth of Abu Bakr that was accepted. Today also there are many wealthy people. Wealth does not mean generosity. Many a times you respect a wealthy man and you think, like the poet says, I end with this, Marana, يَمْشِي الْفَقِيرُ وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ ضِدُّهُ تَرَاهُ مُبْغَدًا وَلَيْسَ بِمُذْنِبٍ يَرَى الْعَدَاوَةَ وَلَا يَرَى أَسْبَابَهَا يرى العداوة ولا يرى أسبابها حتى أن الكلاب إذا رأت ذا ثروة خدعت لديه وحركت أذنابها وإذا رأت يوما فقيرا غابرا نبحت عليه وكشرت أنيابها. You see a wealthy, you see a poor man, you hate him, you dislike him, you shun him. The purpose is hatred, but he doesn't know why. People shunning me, I don't know. يرى العداوة ولا يرى أسبابها. To such an extent, حتى أن الكلاب إذا رأت ذا ثروة. The dog, when it passes by a poor man, when it passes by a rich man, إذا رأت ذا ثروة خدعت لديه. It bows down. وحركت أذنابها. It wags its tail. وإذا رأت يوما فقيرا. But if it passes by a pauper, it passes by barking. May Allah Ta'ala inspire us with the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make us deserving of the honorable, make us misdaq of the hadith At-Tajir al-Saduq, that honest tradesman who fears Allah, his hashr will be with the galaxy of Anbiya. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
For all your CD needs, contact Simtek Islamic CDs 031-304-6165 or 082-500-9111. Simtek Islamic CDs, manufacturers and distributors of Islamic audio and media CDs. For all your CD needs, contact Simtek Islamic CDs. We have a wide range of CD-ROM and audio CDs to choose from. Try our Quranic CDs or choose from our vast range of English lectures. We even have selected Urdu lectures. And for your computer, we have screensavers, Islamic programs and much more. So call us on 082-500-9111. Simtek Islamic CDs, manufacturers and distributors of Islamic audio and media CDs.